to my brothers and sisters and all your listeners, whether you're an atheist, Jew, or you're Christian, how can we deny the oneness of our Creator, the one that gave us life? He's our sustainer. We've read the Old and the New Testament, now read the final. Al-Quran has been sent to mankind as a source of healing and guidance, revealed to Muhammad. Now it is recited by 1 in 6 people across our sphere. Start your journey here, and if you really are sincere, you come to conclude Islam's the only way to go. Yo, let them know, Eddie, it's the Dean Radio Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which is the greeting of peace. Peace be unto you. We got a brother, my brother and your brother, just took his shahada. What is the shahada? That is when you come to a conscious decision that, you know what? There is a creator, and I want to worship him. I want to do all the good that he's told me to do. I figured out that, you know what? Man can't be God. Man ate, slept, went to the bathroom. The God that I want to worship is the God who created all things. And you know what? I want to worship him alone. In the same way that this creator, he sent messengers throughout time, just to name a few, Noah, Abraham, Jesus Christ, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I'm going to worship the one God, and I'm going to follow the guidance that he sent through the last and final messenger. That's the shahada. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And I got our brother Nick. Nick, are you there?
I'm here, brother.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Now, you said the shahada. You said that declaration of faith, didn't you? I heard it. You said it. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
Why'd you do it, brother? There's all sorts of misconceptions about Islam. You are American born, bred, and raised. Is that right? And you became
a
Muslim.
That is correct.
And you became a Muslim. Now, did you become an Arab? Some people, you know, right off the bat, we have to clear things up. Why did you become a Muslim?
Well, brother, that's a misconception that Islam is only for the Arabs. Islam is for everybody and from all walks of life. I became Muslim for a lot of reasons. One was, I was born, you know, into a Christian family, into a Christian household, and I started to read the Bible, and, you know, and I kept searching for stuff, and I had answers. So I had questions, but I couldn't get answers. And I've been around Muslims all my life, and it was just, you know, I was asked a lot of questions, and I tried to be an open-minded person, and I didn't want to, you know, there's a lot of, in this country, there's a lot of misconceptions of what Islam and what Muslim means. A lot of people here, if you were to tell them that Jesus were a Muslim, they don't understand what that means because they don't even know the definition of what a Muslim is. But Jesus, by definition, is a Muslim.
Define. What do you mean? And someone's like, how is Jesus Christ, the Jesus that we love, how is he a Muslim?
Well, simply that, as you know, brother, that a Muslim is one who submits his entire will to the will of God, who submits his life to God and serves God and worships God and does what God wants him to do. And Jesus, by listening to God and doing what we're, well, I'm going to say God just because for those who might be listening, who might not be ready to call God Allah, does what God wants him to do. Jesus did what God instructed him to do. Jesus was man. Jesus was not God. People misconstrue and people misinterpret and say that Jesus is God when Jesus, if Jesus was God, he would not have died on the cross.
Nice.
It was
point.
God who brought him back, Allah, not Jesus. And by definition, Jesus is a Muslim because he listened and submitted and dedicated his life to serving God. So by definition, he is a Muslim.
So you're an American born, bred, and raised in America?
Yes, well, I spent some time overseas, and I've been to several Muslim countries, which helped enlighten me to open my mind to more to the idea of Islam more. But yes, I'm born and raised in America.
Guess what? I am too.
But,
so we got two American, and I'm proud to be an American. You know that? And I'm proud to be one who is an American, born, bred, and raised, and is also worshiping the one God. And it just makes sense. People abide by the law of the land, and we should, but isn't it just common sense that we should abide by the laws of the one who created us and do all the good that he's told us to do? And that's what you decided to do. There's nothing strange about that.
I don't see any problems with it.
That's amazing. And we got right into the program because this is exciting. You know, Islam, which simply means to acquire peace by submitting to the owner of peace. That's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and doing all the good that he's told you to do. Now, when someone comes to Islam, because Islam is the fastest growing way of life out there today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And one who is a Muslim is one who's doing Islam. So yeah, you decided to do Islam. And this is just summed up in one word in Arabic. What were you doing before? Tell us a little bit about your life. What were you, you know, what are some of the fun things, you not so fun things? What did you just grow up doing in this society? Tell us a little bit about your history, brother.
Well, before Islam, I mean, you know, I was a Christian. I belonged to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's a part of Christianity where they worship on the Sabbath, as is instructed in the Bible in Genesis, Exodus, Acts, and several other parts of the Bible where it talks about, you know, worshiping on the Sabbath day because God rested on the Sabbath. And, you know, it had certain dietary laws and other things that you were supposed to do, such as you're not allowed to eat swine, and there were a lot of other things. And it made more sense to me to the fact that a lot of my family was Catholic, and I came up in a Catholic church. And a lot of stuff with Catholicism didn't make sense to me. And once I started doing the history of it, a lot of it, you know, they used to do things where back in the Middle Ages and during the time of Renaissance, where if you wanted forgiveness from God, when in Catholic Church you do confession, you go to the priest and you pay him alms, you give him money, and he would forgive you for your sins. And, you know, and that didn't make sense to me. And a lot of stuff, I would see stuff like, you know, people would go back, like you walk past a homeless person on the street, and you walk into a church and you would tithe and you would give money to the church, who could, you know, might not actually do anything good with the money, you know, would just take the money could possibly take the money for its own selfish purposes, while you passed a homeless person right next to the church and didn't give him any money. I would see things like this, and I'm like, well, that doesn't seem to be what Jesus would do. Jesus, in my mind, he would help out the homeless person before he would just walk into a church and give money to people who are already getting money from lots of people. And, you know, and I was living up and down. My life was kind of crazy. I've seen a lot. I've done a lot, you know. Not proud of anything, but I'm not ashamed of it either. Where I come from, you know, a lot of people caught up, you know, drug dealing, doing drugs, doing stuff that harm their bodies. And, you know, it's just trying to get fast money and girls. And living a crazy lifestyle. And, you know, I tried all that, and I couldn't find peace in it. I tried being a Christian. I read the Bible, did the history, learned the Bible, and it's funny because a lot of Christians I found couldn't even tell me what language Jesus spoke. He spoke Aramaic. And, you know, and most Muslims, if you ask them this, if they're practicing pious Muslims, they know what language he spoke. And I would go to some of these churches and people would be screaming Jesus and praising Jesus. They would also say Jesus, who's, you know, son of Mary and Joseph, but then how is he God? I had a lot of questions and things didn't make sense. And I kept reading the Bible, but I knew a lot of Muslims who told me, well, read the Quran. So I started reading the Quran more, and in my city where I'm from, Philadelphia, there was a lot of Muslims, and started talking to a lot of people, and Islam made a lot more sense. It seemed like the next step up. It seemed more like an upgrade, but for lack of a better word, I'm going to use the word upgrade, and it brought me to a higher meaning, and I started looking into it, and I've been to a lot of Muslim countries, and I've known a lot of Muslims from... I've been to, you know, Muslim countries, North Africa and stuff like this, Morocco, and I've seen things, and a lot of the misconceptions aren't really true, and I found peace more, like, and it seemed more peaceful and calming, and it helped me calm down in ways that Christianity couldn't. And I was able to clean up my life more in ways that Christianity couldn't help me clean it up. I would see a lot of people, like, claiming to be this, and then they don't live it, and that was hard for me to take it seriously.
Now, how did you come to a point in your life that you started thinking serious? Because nowadays you can quote the Bible, you can, as soon as you mention religion, it's not the cool thing. You know, it's more cool to be talking about all the girls that you're going to meet at the club and the parties you're going to go to and the rap videos and the newest song that's out by Eminem and 50 Cent and all these other things that are going on. But you started thinking, at least you made a step and you inquired into and you looked into the Bible before you saw that, look, this is not making sense. Man, God, Trinity, God dying for your sins, all these things just didn't make sense. So, but mm-hmm. before you even got to that stage of it not making sense, man, let's back up. You're just like, you were searching for something, obviously. How did you get to the point that you were in the market to search? Because many people, they're not even in the market. They're just out there. They just want to have a good time. They just want to party and die. Well, how did you get to the point where you're like, man, this I got to take life serious?
Well, from a young age, I was always around people who were older than me. I saw a lot of things, and I've always been a very open-minded person. And the way that my parents had raised me was to think outside the box, and I matured a lot faster than a lot of people. So at a younger age, I was thinking and, you know, like I was doing things like, you know, like when I was in sixth grade, I could read on an 11th grade reading level. So like, not trying to brag or anything, but like I could always think ahead and I could always read more, and I was into more things, more cultural things and thinking outside the box, whereas opposed to a lot of people in my generation were still, when a lot of people my age were having curfews and had to be inside earlier, I was outside, or I was having talks with adults. And, you know, and I spent a lot of time, and I was overseas for a while, so I got to expand my mind more, and I started seeing things. And when I lived overseas, I went to the club a lot. Like, I was 14, because overseas, there's no drinking age, unlike in this country. And, you know, and stuff like that, they don't frown upon people smoking and doing things like this. It's considered okay. So when I was 14, I was going to clubs. When I was 15 and 16, I was going to clubs where in this country, you would have to be 20-something, 21, you know, 22 to go to. I was doing it at 14, at an age when I should have been inside. I was allowed to go out and do these things. And I started doing it all at a young age, and I lived it and I did it. And really, honestly, you can smoke as much as you want. You can drink as much as you want, and you can think that's going to solve your problems. But sooner or later, the high is going to go away. You're going to be sober again when you wake up in the morning, and the problem will still be there. But whereas a lot goes nowhere. A lot is always there. And I started looking for other ways to solve my issues, and partying and living it up wasn't solving it. It was only, if anything, making it worse. I saw an interview with, he used to be a rapper, his name was Loon, and I saw an interview that you had given with him, and he said that, you know, he was paying for the disease, but the cure was free.
Yes.
And I never forgot that when he said that, because that just really made so much sense to me, because it's true. I was trying to find a way to buy things, and, you know, and I've been through a lot of situations where, like, I would move into a new house, and then my house got robbed, and everything got taken from me, and it's just like, you can buy all these material things, you can try to drink your problems away, but at the end of the day, when you go and you die and you're in a grave, those things don't come with you. You could put them in your grave with you, but your soul will not take them. And, you know, and really living a more righteous lifestyle, that's more of a key to happiness than all this other stuff. And I've seen that, and I'm blessed, and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows better, you know. And
this is amazing. And you mentioned Allah, and just for our not yet Muslim family out there who we are doing these programs so they can develop a better understanding of the world's fastest growing way of life, the way of life of all the messengers of God, including Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. You mentioned Allah, and the sister language to Arabic is Aramaic. And Jesus, he would call on God by the name Allah. And we say Allah. And Jew and Christians who are Arabic speaking, they also say Allah. So just to assuage any fears that someone might have that they're calling upon some Arab god or a moon god, no, we're calling upon the God that Jesus called upon, that God of the heavens and the earth, who created the sun and the moon and everything in his universe. We're calling upon that God. That's Allah.
Yes.
So, Brother Nick, we're very excited. This is exciting that you got your act together and you were open-minded and you started to investigate. So you go back to your roots now and you start looking into the Bible, which we as Muslims, we believe that there is the word of God in the Bible. We believe that. And we just want to make this note. But there are also the word of prophets, historians, and other authors, which we have no clue who these people are. So you got a bunch of things mixed up in there. So did you start to figure this out and you saw that, hold on, there's some things in here that can't be from God. Did you run across some of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. For instance, if you take, you know, when you go to a mosque or, you know, the masjid, there's only one, and you only read from one book. Yet if you take the Bible, for instance, there's many different versions of the Bible. If you talk to an evangelical Christian, a born-again Christian, a Catholic priest, a Protestant, Lutheran, or even a Seventh-day Adventist, they all read, you know, even sometimes different versions of the Bible, and they all have different interpretations of the same thing. And it's just, it seemed to me that so many different people are taking like 10 different things out of the same situation. And to me, that was confusing. And, you know, if God is, you know, to be so powerful and great and divine as Allah is, then I shouldn't be confused. I shouldn't have all these questions. And if you talk to different priests and different pastors and so on and so forth, they're going to give you different interpretations and different ideas and different ways to go here and to go there. And I'm just like, why am, it's like, for instance, if you're asking directions to go somewhere that is right around the corner and you ask different people and they each tell you 10 different ways to go, you're not going to know which way to go. You're going to be confused and you're not going to know what to trust. You know, if I'm asking directions, I want to know the right way. I want to know the easiest, fastest, most direct way, not hearing 10 different ways to get to one place. That's only going to confuse me. And that's what confused me the most about Christianity is if there's different versions of the Bible that was written by man. And, you know, and man, as we all know, is not perfect, is going to make mistakes. And that's perfectly fine. But if I'm going to worship God, Allah, I don't want to make a mistake. You know, and I'm not blaming anybody for maybe misinterpreting anything, but that's not the right way to go. I want to make sure I'm doing it the right way. And it's just, there's so many different ways that they take to do it. Why can't I just have one way, one simple thing, one simple book, one place to look for my information? There's different versions of the Bible being printed. So which one are you going to trust? How do you know which one is correct? But there was only one Quran. Only one.
That is amazing. Isn't it one Quran, which is the verbatim word of God, and you have it in its original. It hasn't been edited, played with by man. We have the original language. If we look to the previous revealed books, they've been altered, edited, and we don't have the original language. So it's not the word of God. It's simple. So did you find that many people, when it comes down to the worship of God, or now people are actually worshiping Jesus, people just end up doing cultural things, like they just slide in on Sunday, you know, the band's playing, seems like a good time, and people aren't really thinking about really, they're not thinking beyond, they're just going with the flow, they're just doing what everyone's doing, and not like thinking, hold on, should I be praising God or Jesus? And then you got the Holy Ghost, and then it all gets mixed up, intertwined together, and you got this Trinity, and you know what? Somebody stops to question it, but you know what? The music's too loud, so they forget. They're just going with the flow. Did you find some of this going on?
Yes. I mean, it's funny, because I asked a lot of people, before I want to get involved in something, I like to do my homework. I want to do my research. I don't want to, like, it's simple, and for this is anybody listening who might be Christian, ask yourselves or ask somebody else, ask them what hallelujah means. Now, this is a word that if you're in the Christian church, you hear it all the time, you know. They say hallelujah, praise be to God, but most Christians cannot even tell you what the word hallelujah means, where it's derived from. If you're saying a word, a lot of people I know, and I'm always going to speak on people I know. I'm not going to speak on every Christian out there. But a lot of people I know, I would even ask them, and these people I know who are devout Christians, well, who are born again, and they say Jesus is their Savior. And I'm like, well, what does hallelujah mean? I don't know. Can you please tell me what it means? But I already knew what it means. I did the research. It means praise Yahweh. It's derived from a Hebrew word. It means to praise God, but they don't know what it means. They don't even know why they say amen. And it's like you're saying things, you don't even know why you're saying it. And I saw stuff like that, and I'd ask people, well, why do you go to church, or why are you a Christian? I would say, well, why? Why are you this? Because maybe I want to be a Christian, and I want to know why you're doing it, because maybe that's the same reason why I want to do it. And nobody could tell me why they were a Christian. They would just say, well, Jesus is good, and if I tried to talk to them about it, they would be scared to talk about it, and they wouldn't want to talk about it, or they would be like, no, well, it's the right thing to do. Well, why is it the right thing to do? Not to bring up history in the past, but back when, you know, Hitler was in power and the Nazis, he was telling them it was the right thing to do to kill innocent people. And people didn't question it, and people didn't know what was really going on. And that led to a disaster and a tragedy. So before I get involved in anything, I'm going to ask why I'm doing this or why should I be doing this so I know why I'm doing it so I can understand it better. And people couldn't give me an answer. And I'm like, well, people come to Allah, to God for answers. They should get answers. And nobody was giving me an answer. And it was just, that didn't make sense to me. And I'm like, well, if you don't know why you're doing it, then you shouldn't be doing it, in my opinion.
Wow, this is deep. Yes.
And it just didn't make sense to me. And I'm just like, well, that doesn't make sense. You're saying things, you're screaming things in a building, in a church that you go to these churches and they scream and they get very excited and they... I used to be a very serious Christian, and it feels good sometimes. It does feel good, but at the same time, it's like, it's just certain things just didn't make sense to me. I'm like, it's like, okay, but it's like in so many different ways, they'll be saying Jesus, you know, is the Son of God, but then they'll say Jesus is God. But, you know, I shouldn't have any contradictions. I shouldn't even need to ask any questions. Islam, you know, Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last prophet. He came to deliver the last message because, you know, people weren't following it right. And Jesus even said, there will be one after me. You will know him because he will know me. I heard an interview where Brother Yusuf Etez, he said this, and then I researched it and I found it to be true. You know, I like to be able to verify things, and for me, before I do anything, to know that what I'm doing, okay, is the correct thing. If I hear something, I'm going to do the research on it so I know that I'm following it correctly. You can do that, and this is to anybody listening. Please, please, please do the research on Islam. Look up the words. Look up the meanings of what we say and see what it means and put it into perspective, and then you'll see. And it changed my life.
And that's what you did. You went to the Muslims to learn about Islam. If you want to learn about Christianity, go to the Christians. You want to learn about Judaism, go to the Jewish people. So we shouldn't go towards CNN or Fox News to learn about Islam or to the people who are trying to vilify Islam to learn about Islam. Come to the Muslims. You did that.
Yes.
And you've learned that this is indeed a way of life sent down from the Creator, not from a human being. And it's clear, rational, and all the evidence pointed to it being the truth?
It did. And that's the best way to do it. And just as you said, brother, I would encourage, and I please beg anybody who is listening, anybody who is open-minded enough, if you want to know the truth, go to the source. You can sit here and people can, and you know, peace and blessings be upon Jesus. You can pray to Jesus, but Jesus is not God. I said, you know, I'm going to cut out the middleman. I want to deal with directly with the source, the main source, not somebody in between who I'm going to get confused with. And often, many times, man, I find, because, you know, man, we're not perfect. We will make mistakes. We are not Allah. We'll remake religion to the way that he sees that it should be, because we have our own personal biases. And that's understandable. But if you're going to really praise Allah and praise God, you shouldn't do it with any bias or with anybody else's possibly alternative agendas. You should do it the right way. And if you truly want to know the answer, if you have any misconceptions, go ask. A lot of people, you know, there's a lot of speculation on, I've even heard of my own family, Muslim women have no rights and Muslim women can't do this. Talk to Muslim women. I've known many different Muslim women. Talk to Muslim women. Ask them how their lives are. Ask them how they're living and see for yourself before you make a judgment. I think then it's only fair. Even I saw an interview. I saw he was giving a speech. He was giving a lecture. Brother Khalid Yassin, who also helped me learn more about Islam and learn many things. And I watched a lot of videos on him. You can find him easily on YouTube for anybody listening who wants to know. Brother Khalid Yassin, you can look him up. He knows what he's talking about. Look him up, please. Google his name, whatever it takes. Find out what he's saying. And he said, before you judge something, don't listen to some news or some media site whose job is to report gossip and scandals because that's what people want to hear more. Go and really read about it and know about it yourself and educate yourself. You know, because like Allah gave us brains. That's why I always said to people, Allah gave us a brain. He gave it to us for a reason. He wouldn't have just given it to us for no reason. He knows even better than us. Better than we ever could. He gave us a brain for a reason. Use it. Do the information. Please, anybody listening, please do the research. Do it. And think about it and put it in perspective and see if, and honestly, if you really think about this and you put it into that perspective, you can't not choose Islam. It's not a multiple choice question. With Christianity, for me, it was a multiple choice. With Islam, it's just a true. It's not even a false. It's just a truth.
Wow, this is amazing. That's what we do. We want to stimulate the mind of the listener, rather he be it from a Jewish background, rather he be it from a Hindu background, a Christian background. They're all our brothers in humanity, and we want the best for everyone. And sharing is caring. And we care about all of the people, and we know that many people are in a situation like you were yourself, confused. Trinity's thrown at you. The Bible's out there. You can't figure out what to do. You got all these different opinions. And that brings me to my next question. You mentioned taking a rest on the Sabbath because God Almighty rested. Now, did this ever boggle you, God rested?
Hey, he doesn't need to rest. You know, a lot of things didn't make sense to me when certain organizations, because I'll give you a story, for instance. When I was younger, I was very serious in the church. My grandmother, was very big into the church. And I remember I was in the choir, and we needed to sell lemonade to get money so we could do things for the choir so we could keep it going. And it was funny because Muslims, as a Muslim, it is your job to give alms to the poor. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. I might mispronounce the word. Forgive me, brother, if I mispronounce it, but I believe it's zakat, to cure our greed.
Yeah, zakat.
To give to
yes.
the needy.
Yes.
And I'm still learning. But the main idea is that, you should give to the people who need it because that's living righteously. And I remember I was selling lemonade for the choir, and I couldn't get anybody to buy. It was a hot summer day like this one, and people were just walking past, and nobody was giving money. But ironically, before I did that, a Muslim man came by and asked what I was selling and asked me, and he bought some from me. And he actually came back with his family and purchased more. And then he went about his day and did what he did. But there's plenty of people walking past other than that. And nobody else bought anything. So later on, my grandmom came outside, and she put a sign up that said that the proceeds benefit the church and gave the name of the church and a little explanation. Then more people came by and started giving because they saw that it said it was for a church. But the Muslim man who came by, who was a neighbor of mine, who I knew because I knew he was Muslim because it's my Ryan, he did it just to do it because he knew it was the right thing to do because it's part of his religion to give. But there was plenty of people who walked by and didn't give anything. But then when they saw that it was for a church, they all of a sudden said, okay, it's time to give. And that didn't make sense to me. It was like the right thing to do from the jump would be just to help out. And it was just things like that that really had me going. It really was like, wait a second. So, and when I asked I asked my neighbor, his name was Mehmet, I asked him, why did you help me out of anybody? He was like, well, you needed it, and it was my job as part of my religion to help out people who are in need. And that's the right way to do things. If you can think with that philosophy and with that mentality and put that into life, it will be a better world, a better place to live. And it was people who were only helping because then, they saw that it was for a church. So then they almost did it because they were like, Jesus might be watching, so we better do this so we look good. No, that's not why you should do it. You should do it because you know it's the right thing to do. Not just because, now we need to do it. No, do it beforehand.
Yes.
Things like that really persuaded me to say, wait a minute, I better take a closer look at this because I'm seeing hypocrisy and that doesn't make sense.
And you got to be sincere, open-minded, and the signs of the Creator are subtle. So obviously we can see from the sidelines, we're seeing like God is sending you signs. Now, you didn't have to get full of some Holy Ghost or some spirit to see it. Did you just have to use good old common sense and just dig a little bit and look out in front of you for these signs? Was it something that you just had to use good old common sense?
It was at first, you know, it's funny because you see a lot of, there's a lot of new religions today, like, you know, your Scientologists and all these new people coming up with ideas, and it's just, they're always talking about some sign, but I believe if you just, if you sit back and you could look at things from a strictly an analytical viewpoint and just think about things and just be open-minded and see that, okay, well, the world is in trouble today, mostly, I believe, because people aren't treating other human beings as if they're your brother and your sister. But in Islam, you're right. You're taught the idea that, but the lifestyle that, okay, another human being, regardless of color or race or sex or gender, is my brother or my sister. And if you can look at it like that and treat people like they're a brother and a sister, a lot of the problems that we have, today's wars, the fighting, the misconceptions, would go away if you could just look at people through that view. A lot of these problems would go away. And to me, that's just plain common sense. Doesn't involve any weird, different ritual, any type of weird type, you know, strange ideas. No, it's just plain common sense. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. And if you can do that, look at people as your brother and your sister, people I think will be less likely to go out there and harm one another, because it doesn't help anybody. It only hurts ourselves.
For another misconception many people have, they say, okay, American now, uh-oh, they brainwashed them. Now they got another terrorist on their side, and we got more to fear. What do you got to say about that?
Well, I can say I've been, you know, I'll tell you a true story. I lived overseas in Belgium for a while. My mom had a government job, so working at the embassy, we got transferred overseas. And this is a true story. I had some friends who were Egyptian, and it was during the month of Ramadan. And our embassy, the American embassy, sent us emails saying, stay away from the mosque because it's Ramadan and the threat level is at orange, whatever that means. Okay. So I had friends of mine who were from Egypt. The names were, this name I told a lot of my other friends, scared a lot of people, because one of my friends' name was Hussein, and the other one's name was Abdel. Now, they're from Egypt, you know, and they lived in Pakistan for a while, and they've been around. And I learned a lot about Islam and a lot about the Middle East from them and being around them and my experience with them. Now, you know, I'm American, and it was Ramadan. But they said to me, Nick, come to dinner at our house. And they lived right down the street. It was probably a 10-minute walk from the mosque. I went to Ramadan at their house, and their family was more than welcoming, and I wasn't a Muslim at the time. And this was back during when I used to party and you know, hang out a lot and go to the bars and the clubs and everything overseas. But they said, Nick, you know, brother, come to our house. Come eat dinner with us. Come meet our family. I said, sure, you know. And another friend of mine who also taught me a lot about Islam, his name was Ahmed. And when I took Shahada, he was one of the first people I called and told. But he came with me, and we went there, and I had dinner with them, and I met their family, and I talked to their dad, and I came back home, and I remember I had to catch the last metro, so I'm having to get on the, and anybody who's lived in a city knows when you're catching the train late at night, usually that's when you should worry more. I walked right past the mosque to get to the metro. Between the train station and their house was the mosque. I had to walk right past it. Nothing happened to me. I'm still here today.
Yes.
You know, it's not, and it was fine, despite some email that went out and said, oh, we're co-level orange. This is when Bush was president. You know, you need to be careful. And I'm like, no, I went there and I was fine. Nothing happened to me. Like, it's just a misconception, because it's just, and my question to anybody who would say that, okay, we're being brainwashed and you're terrorists and all this other mess that people want to put out there is, okay, so if we're brainwashed, what do you have to say about the people who are in something like, I've seen documentaries like where the Ku Klux Klan will sit here and will burn crosses and will say that they hate Jews, but they love Jesus, who was Jewish and was sent to help the tribe of Israel. Who is more brainwashed? Or any other, some of these other churches that are teaching out of different Bibles that they rewrote because they said that the other ones weren't Christian enough. Who is more brainwashed? When we stick to the same script and don't change it for anything, and they're switching different holy books and saying that this is the way you're supposed to be. that to me didn't, I mean, and that's really, if anybody does any misconceptions, honestly ask yourself that. Who is more brainwashed? And if they think people are, don't let the same video that you might see from some news channel who needs the ratings decide your opinion on something. Make your own judgment and your own opinion and do your own research.
Good points. We only have a few more minutes. We want to get a few more points in. Jesus, peace be upon him. No Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus, that he was the Word of God, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, that he gave life to the dead by God's permission. He did many wonderful and amazing miracles by God's permission. And if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not a Muslim. What do you now? What is it? How is your relationship with Jesus now as of before? Because now you as a Christian, it was all Jesus. You pumped your head with Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. What do you have to say about Jesus now?
I'm still the same. Well, I'm the only Lord is Allah. The only one worthy of all praise is God, Almighty Allah. There's nobody else. But I still give praise to Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him. I still will go back and read in the Bible Matthew and look over his teachings, because God sent him with many great messages that we need to hear. And I still look back on it. He's still a prophet. He's still a prophet of Allah. He is still a good Muslim to this day. I have nothing against Jesus. There's nothing wrong with wanting to learn teachings of Jesus. He had many great messages to tell us, but he is not Allah. I differentiate. There is a difference between him and Allah. My relationship with Jesus is smarter, and it's grown more. I'm better with it now than I was before.
So it's not something that you had to make a major turn. It just, you went from giving Jesus his due respect as a mighty messenger and not God, and taking that worship that is due for the one who created you and giving it to him and not giving it to him, his creation. Simple.
If anything, why I say it is better now is because I'm not falsely worshiping him. I'm worshiping God, Allah, as I should be, not somebody else. So if anything, the relationship has been cleared up and fixed up more than it was before, because before I was misguided.
What advice do you have for others? We covered a lot of different points. We don't take God as a human being. We don't worship his creation. We only worship the one God, and everything is built on that foundation. And we give in the name of God. We pray to the one God. We believe in Jesus. You mentioned women's rights also. Islam is not about terrorism. There's no radical Islam. Islam is not about killing innocent men, women, and children. Islam is about justice and peace for all. This is Islam, to acquire peace by submitting to the owner of peace, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now you're one who does Islam. What advice do you have for those who, they have these different misconceptions? We've cleared a lot of them up, but they're still kind of stuck to what their parents or what their forefathers used to do. And you know what? They might feel like an outcast. They might feel like ridiculed, made fun of. What advice do you have for them who are agreeing with a lot of these things? They're also confused about the Trinity, about God dying on the cross or Jesus dying and all these other things that you just have to do a lot of mental gymnastics to make them fit. They're confused, but they want to do the right thing, and it's coming from you, a born-bred American who used to be Christian. What advice do you have for them?
I would say, before you make any decision, don't take my word for it. Please don't listen to me. Before you judge Islam, never look at a Muslim, even if they're giving you good advice. What I would recommend is you do the research for yourself and make the right decision. Allah will guide you from there.
That's
Learn
it.
About it, do the research, and you'll see.
Do the research. Death is
yes.
coming. It's approaching. This is a very, very serious topic. We need to get with it. Life's not all about jokes, sports, baseball games, football games, gossip, drama. All that stuff is just marking time. We need to get serious, and you did, and we're proud of you, brother.
Thank you. I thank you for helping me and with everything. Praise to Allah. May Allah bless you. I thank you. You help you, and watching your program helped me make my decision that much easier. Thank you.
That's amazing. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother, for taking the time to be with us. And this really touches my heart and all the listeners who are listening. We all make dua
Everybody
for you.
Everybody listening, inshallah, please accept Islam. Inshallah.
Yes, yes, brother. Thank you once again. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
This is an amazing story, and we look, inshallah, forward to one day meeting you in person.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Inshallah. Thank you.
Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatu. Thank you.
Yes, and that was our brother Nick. Nick, who accepted the call to acquire peace from the owner of peace, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It was wonderful listening to him talk about his journey. And it's simple. You want to do the good that the Creator has called you to do. You've realized that, you know what? All the six packs in the world, all the Jack and Cokes, all the baseball games, football games, all the different gossip stories that I talk about at the health clubs and the gyms, all this wasting of time is not buying me time. I'm getting older, but I'm getting a little wiser. And I'm realizing, you know what? Who are really my true friends? Who really wants best for me? They come and go. People use me for money. People use me for my car. People use you for all types of things, especially the young ladies out there getting used left and right. But now, just like that brother, he got out there and he partied away. And he realized, man, I'm not happy. And he started to reflect. He started to think. And then he was in the market. And that's what, from this show and our shows, we want you to stimulate. We want you to get stimulated to turn on that light bulb, to start to reflect and think. All the time in the world will pass, and you got one shot. This life is a test. What will you do with it? Will you just let it pass by and then death approaches and it's too late? Then it's over. Bye-bye, everybody. And then you failed because you didn't take this life seriously. So if you're listening to this, reflect more. You might be a CEO of a company. You might be a major football player or movie star. You might be the president, Obama. This is for everybody. Don't just worry about what people will say or trying to look cool and fit in into the cool club. Think about the one who created you. And he created you for a noble purpose. And that's not about you teaching God, you teaching the Creator the religion that he wants you to live, picking and choosing like a buffet. No, you have to earnestly want the truth. And then when it comes, be courageous enough to submit to it. And the foundation of all the good that you will do, you need a blueprint. You need a GPS. You'll pray to the one God. You'll give charity in the name of the one God. You'll fast in the name of the one God. He don't need it. You need it. You need a system. You want to get big? You better go to a gym. You better get a personal trainer. You want to get an education? You better follow the curriculum. Well, God has a curriculum. God has a system that he wants us to follow. And that's submitting to him alone on his terms. Islam, that's what it is. And we want you to be successful in this life. So we want you to think about these more serious issues and topics. And don't just take our word for it. Don't take Nick's word for it, who used to be a Christian, who used to be a party guy, who used to be out there having a good time. Now he's one who is submitted to the one God. He's not a terrorism. Islam doesn't teach us to hurt innocent men, women, and children. Sure, you might have a few bad apples in every bunch, but Islam will teach you how to live a good, wholesome, and moral life. Living life how God wants you to live. So if you like what we had to say today, we'd like to thank Nick, who was with us, and everybody who is listening. If you like this program, continue to tune in every week to thedeenshow.com, T-H-E-D-E-E-N, show.com, to learn more. But know that as God Almighty has said, listen to this. This is deep. He said, all my slaves are misguided unless I guide them, so ask me of my guidance. That's where it begins, with you being in the market, wanting the truth, and then asking the one who created you for the truth, and then being ready to submit to the truth. And you got to hear it here. If it made sense, it's going to continue to make sense. Continue to tune in. That's all the time that we have. Thank you for being with us again here on the Dean Show radio show. To see all of our TV shows, go to the same place, thedeanshow.com. Every week a new show. Keep us in your dua. Keep us in your prayers. And support by sharing the Dean Show with everyone you know. Include us in your websites, in your emails, in your blogs. Do the work. Get the wonderful reward. We'll see you next time. Peace be unto you.
Fresh, pure, holy peace. Fresh, pure, holy peace.